some people here know I can get loud without this mic, so.
Right. Okay.
First, I'd like to start off with a quick prayer this morning, so if you would please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to share your word with everyone here this morning. We would like to pray humbly that your word goes out and is received into their hearts with openness, and that your love is welcome and that they return your love. And as for myself, I pray I have the strength to deliver your word appropriately with the grace and the love and the conviction that only you can give me to offer these people. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Most of you don't know me, but those of you that do know that I'm very foundational. I always like to get right to the heart of the matter. Our faith is tested every day. And how we respond is determined by how strong our foundation is. So one of the questions I always present to myself on a daily basis is, am I truly a disciple of Christ? And these are the things that we need to ask ourselves constantly. Christ is very clear in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. He gives us a command. And he states, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go for there and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages." So, in that verse, it's very clear what Christ is commanding of us. We need to look at the word disciple in itself, okay? And it simply tells us that, you know, we're to be learners. The word disciple means learner. We're to imitate Christ, okay? Our purpose as disciples is very clear. We're allowed to evangelize to the world, to all nations, okay? To bring sinners and those that are lost to the love of Christ and the love of God. As God can, He's the only one that can give us that type of love. Okay? So, a lot of us attend church on a regular basis, and we say we believe in Jesus. But is this what it means to be a disciple? Honestly. Okay? Christ is very clear in the definition of discipleship. Okay? So let's take a second and look here. Literally, disciple means learner, correct? So, one who follows another's teachings, okay? We're meant to imitate Christ. The goal of a disciple, as stated by Jesus himself in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Okay? So, we should be aspiring every moment of every day to be as much like Christ as we've read and learned and come to understand it. Okay? And we're going to come to understand it in more than just reading through prayer. You know, we'll learn what Christ has intended for us, and He's going to guide us to be more and more like Him every day. Well, we should be aspiring to that. Let me put it that way. Okay? So, to be Jesus' disciple, we're striving to be like Him. And this coincides with God's goal in the redemption of mankind, okay? That we're to conform to the image of His Son. And He tells us that in Romans 8, verse 29. "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." So, are we striving to follow and be like Christ? Because the truth is, we're not. Okay, and this is the part where some people take offense. We're not truly striving for that. And we can't call ourselves disciples. And it's not something that we should take half-heartedly. Okay? Jesus gives us two marks. He tells us, as we look at others and as we look at ourselves, you know, what some of the marks are of being a disciple. Okay, he's very clear, which is one of the reasons we're told we need to be in the scripture every day. We'll see these marks and read these marks. Okay? We've got a few examples for you here. John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Okay? Are we reading, learning, praying, and coming to understand the commands that God has given us and that Jesus has taught us? Okay? Abide simply means to accept or to act in accordance with. So Jesus is telling us to accept and or live in accordance with his word and his teachings. I mean, he's very clear. And we as men tend to muddy things up on a regular basis. Okay? We make it a little more complicated than it has to be. My print got smaller. Hang on a second. Jesus also requires a true disciple to be a doer of the word. And this is the one where this one kind of hits home with me. I spent a lot of time reading, coming to understand my faith in Christ. And I used to call myself a disciple, but I wasn't out there evangelizing. I wasn't out there sharing the love and the grace that Jesus had given me. I have some gifts from God that kind of touch people in a different way than a lot of others. Most people are very soft-handed in their caring and their concerning. And a few of you here know me very well. I put everybody's feet to the fire on a daily basis. Okay? Where's our strength to be crumbled when we put our feet to the fire? And as a doer, okay, in James 1:21-25, James writes, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Okay? James is telling us that if we listen to the word, we'll hear it. No doubt about that. But it's our actions that we do, or that we take from what we learn from the word, those actions are going to be blessed. Because our actions come from what God teaches us in the word. Our actions at that point, what we learn from the word is, those actions are now God appointed. We've drawn them out from the word. Okay? We are actively glorifying God, listening and hearing is respectful, but acting on the word and the lessons of God, that's glorifying. We sing songs of praise and worship because we're taught in Scripture to mean the means of glorifying God, correct? So, and in that action, we're doing that. But we need to do more. Jesus doesn't just speak of glorifying the Father. He shows us in deeds and in actions. He taught us ways for us to glorify him as well, other than just reading the word. We need to be out there physically causing people to question where they're at. Okay? And that's the basis of this sermon. I mean, many of us call ourselves disciples. We need to double check ourselves. Okay? Every day. Am I truly out there doing what Christ mandated me to do? Okay? We're to love one another. Jesus tells us that very clearly in John 13. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. If you're to love one another, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." That's about as clear as it gets. I'd have to say, by displaying love and respect for one another, we're showing others what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. When you walk into a room and there's small groups of people, you gravitate towards the ones that are all grumpy and look irritated and just can't be bothered. You gravitate towards the ones that are smiling, they seem fulfilled, they seem happy together. Pretty simple question, okay? When you notice a person that's obviously distressed, are you the type of person that just shrugs it off and says, oh, I've got to get to the grocery store? Or do you make the time to stop and ask, you know, what can I do for you? You know, what do you need? What's troubling you? You know, particularly in today's world, we've raised the speed limits from what used to be 45 to 55. We're now doing 70 and 80. Everybody's in a hurry. You know, as a disciple, we should be able to slow down and take that moment. Share with that person, you know, what do you need? What's troubling you today? That's what a disciple does. That's what Jesus would do, right? You know. We display with love patterned after Jesus, right? As I have loved you. Jesus' statement. And with a love that's visible to the world. By this, all will know. Right? That's Jesus telling us, by displaying this and by living this out, people will know that we're disciples of Christ. Okay? We're to bear much fruit. John 15:8, by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus explained before, he's noting this as a mark. I mean, are we gathering? Are we bringing new disciples in? Are we planting the seeds when the time's available? I mean, you can't plant the seed every moment. You're going to run into a lot of rocky soil. But we do have times throughout our day when we can plant a seed. And you'd be surprised how quickly it's going to take. I've got at least one new face I know here that I never would have guessed in a million years is here. But he's here. Only God can do that. Sure? Yes, I'm speaking directly to you, my friend. Okay? That's glorifying God to me. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Don't be embarrassed. That's glorifying God. Okay? John 15:1-2. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he will take away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. He tells us in no uncertain terms that if we're disciples, and we're not out there every day living a life that produces fruit, we will be severed from Christ. We will be severed from God. Okay? But if we're living a life that glorifies God, we'll be blessed in our ability to bear more fruit. What is a life that produces fruit? Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is a life where you give public praise to God for the ability to do the great works that you do. We do a lot of great things throughout the day, and we don't stop for a moment to say, hey, it's only through God's love that I have the ability to do that. Bearing fruit is letting others know that you've received that ability and that grace from God to be able to do what you did. When you help somebody out and they're thanking you, you know, it doesn't take much to point out to them that it's God's love that caused me to do this. Okay? This is bearing fruit. The seed may not take immediately. Sometimes it takes years. Trust me on that one. Okay? That's where I come from. that seed, that soil was so difficult to get into me, but when it did, it was amazing. Being a disciple requires commitment, studying and learning Christ's teaching, loving others, even when you find it difficult to do so. Our human nature can really make a chore sometimes to look beyond ourselves and live to glorify Jesus. Life of this kind is actually going to bear fruit for our Lord and Savior. Some of the costs of discipleship. And again, we go back to taking a look at ourselves. A lot of times we say things very simply, very quickly, but is it truly in our heart? One of the clear marks of discipleship and the cost of that is Jesus has to come first. Okay? And Jesus makes that clear, okay? Reference to scripture is Luke 14. Now the great crowds accompanied him and turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." That's a tall order, folks. It really is. Which is why I love this discipleship question. Okay. Do we truly put Jesus before ourselves? We're going to get in here a little bit further, and you're going to see that Jesus put himself before, his father had a plan, and at any time he could have walked away from it. He has that ability. We must be willing to suffer for Jesus, take up our own crosses and follow him, as stated. Okay? Luke 14. Who does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In today's world, we often face ridicule for our faith. And it's a form of suffering, embarrassment, kind of cow down a little bit. But we have to put this in perspective. As suffering goes, a few insults and somebody laughing at you compared to the suffering that Christ went through. Okay? On his journey to the cross, even if we're blessed enough to escape these things and, we live in a comfort zone, we still need to be willing to spend our time and energy to promote the cause and the purpose of Christ. That's what a disciple does. Not just, yet some people, such as myself, I come from a, I guess, a soldier's background. For a long time, if you confronted me about Christ, I was more than willing to step up very abruptly, very, like I said, put your feet to the fire. But when things are going nice and calm, I tend to think, okay, everything's going fine. Well, no, we still need to be out there. We still need to be talking to people, planting the seeds. Okay, we can't just, because there's no confrontation, not react. We still need to be acting every day. We still need to be trying to draw people to Christ. We must be willing to forsake all to follow Jesus. And what does that really cost? In Luke, it tells us, "So therefore, anyone who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Now, keep hearing me refer to what I call lip service. It's easy to say that. I'd give up everything for Christ. Really? Some people have million-dollar homes. Would they lose that for Christ's sake? Would they lose that to glorify God? Would they lose the cars? The big one today is what? Cell phones? Okay. What would you be willing to renounce for Christ? what cost? Jesus must be King and Lord of our lives. Nothing to proceed over Him and His will for us. Our possessions and our lives belong to Him. And if we remember that, it's not that difficult to give them up. It all belongs to God anyway. He's letting us use it. That nice car we got, that comes from God. Yeah. Anytime He wants it back, He can have it. And that's how I need to be thinking. The question is, are we all thinking that way? What would we give up? The cost of discipleship required by Jesus causes many to stop or to keep from following Him. But, you know, Jesus wasn't trying to attract large crowds. It's kind of funny. It kind of worked out that way sometimes. He wants and He still wants disciples. That's not in question. But He only wants the loyalists. The ones that are loyal to His learning and His teachings and are willing to follow. Not only in times of, you know, comfort, but when it gets uncomfortable. And nowadays, in the world we live in, this is just my opinion, Jesus didn't say this, but I think we need more that are willing to step up when it's uncomfortable. Because everybody's trying to make it uncomfortable for us, folks. I mean, watch the news. Watch TV and read the papers. You know, they're trying to make it out that as Christians and as disciples of Christ that we're the bad guys. That's a shame. My approach is the more they try and make me look like a bad guy, the more I'm going to reach out to people. That's how the truth is going to get out there. We have to plant those seeds so these people in the world can see. I mean, I was telling Mark, we have the greatest retirement plan there is. It's that simple. You know? But it takes work. There's a cost for it. Now, y'all are in luck because I'm almost done here. Okay? You have to ask yourself, is the cost or the reward worth it to be a disciple? Your promise is future and present blessings. Okay? And we all know God delivers on His promises. Okay, that's just the fact. We'll be saved from the wrath of God, which is to come. Luke tells us that in Romans 5:9. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. We can look forward to a joyful anticipation with eternity with God, free from sorrow and pain and death. He tells us that in Revelation. Jesus offers peace to the world, offers us peace that the world cannot give us. Okay? He can calm a troubled heart. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, let them be afraid. So it's being challenged. Don't be afraid to step up. You know? He'll give you the strength to stand when you need it, and amazingly enough, He's going to give you the words when you need them too. Okay. His words also inspire joy and lift up our spirits out of depression. John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. To those who follow Him, He offers the abiding love of God. John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And again, to abide is to what? Accept. Okay? Knowing these things, we should be able to cast out fear. Okay, in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. The perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Okay? The further we get into Christ's teachings, the more we learn and the more we come to understand, we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be afraid. That song that we just played there, you know, I don't know how others feel about it, but I have no fear of death. Not death of this body. Okay? My biggest fear, just so you all know, and this was talked about yesterday, is nothing can happen to me on this earth that I'm afraid of, other than to stand here and teach this law. Okay? And believe it or not, I don't know where that came from, because it's not on this paper. I just, so apparently Jesus wanted me to share that with you. Okay? Some of you that know me know I know no fear. That's not a true statement anymore, is it? I have a fear. To teach this law. To not guide you to discipleship correctly. Okay? There's a very fine line, because we were joking about this last night, and people today will quickly say, oh yeah, I know the devil's there. Satan's right there every day. But when you talk to them about Jesus, well, I don't know. Well, sad fact is, folks, even Satan believes in God. That's a fact. Okay? And there's a very fine line, being a divinity. Okay? Lucifer was an angel. He can speak to us right at that level that makes it sound convincing. Saying it's just going to deviate just enough to allow me to teach this well. Not going to happen on my watch. Okay, so if I go slow and I'm stuttering here, when I used to hear that out of me, I know that. But that's my fear. Okay? But I also know by studying the Word as diligently as I did for this sermon, God's not going to allow me to teach this to you. Blessing that brings me the most peace. Blessing of being a member of God's family. Okay. This is one of our present blessings. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother, father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. And I was reading that in verse 29 and 30 parallel each other, except for one obvious distinction. In 29, he's telling us that we have to leave these things, our brothers, our sisters, our homes, our all sorts of things. In verse 30, where it mirrors it, the one thing missing is Father. By coming to Christ and being a disciple of Christ, we step into the family of God. So in verse 29, when we're giving away, or we're leaving our houses, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, and our children, okay, and our lands, in verse 29, we're losing all the same things, we're leaving them, but we're going to get them back 100-fold. And the word Father's not in there. It's because the Father is in us. We are a part of the family. Okay? So that's a present blessing. We just have to grab onto that and hold on to that and understand that. Just so you all know, I skipped reading Revelations because that's quite long and I only have about 25 minutes here. So. Okay? So I'm going to close this out. It's true. Jesus asked a lot of us. If you think for a moment, What has he done for us? What is he still offering us? The scales aren't even close.
Okay?
It's not meant to be close. It's simply about glorifying God and embracing the Son of God, learning and living as an example for others through Christ's love and the guidance of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So again, you know, we have to ask ourselves, and the scripture is real clear. What does Christ expect of us as disciples? When we're done asking that question, the more we read, the more we study, the more we pray, the more we're going to learn that there are some very clear marks. So I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody because I'm a person that struggles with it every day. Are you being a disciple of Christ? It's not for me to challenge you. That's for you to challenge yourself. When you wake up in the morning, what are you doing to glorify God? You know, coming here is great, folks. But to truly be a disciple of God, we're to evangelize all nations, correct? We got to get outside these walls. Okay, this is a great place. This is a comfort zone. I love it. You know, wonderful people. Everybody's been very welcoming to Jackie and I. What are we doing outside here? Are we reaching the sinners and the lost? So, like I said, I was warned earlier I may be stoned after this. I'm okay with that. See, they brought the police just in case I messed this up really bad. So, truly desire to be a disciple of Jesus. Beginning is very simple. First, foremost, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay? After that, and it may take time between these steps, but you want to publicly display that commitment and faith. Okay? The way we publicly display that is being baptized. Immersed. Okay? The Bible doesn't state anything about a sprinkling on the forehead. John wasn't standing there in the river. He didn't baptize Jesus by just taking a handful and putting it on his head. That water symbolizes the cleansing through Christ's blood. We're being washed over. We're being made new. After that, you pretty much just want to be able to seek out, to study, and learn. Find fellowship with like-minded individuals. And Christ will lead you to those individuals. After that, you need to be studying, praying, learning from each other, learning from the Word, and dig into it. I can tell you firsthand, coming from, I used to have to look up in order to look at the sewer. Okay? God's love and that discipleship has given me a direction, a distance, and a purpose. Okay? There's nothing I can't face without God's love. Okay? But if I'm not out there doing what God has asked me to do, you know, it's very clear. If I'm not producing fruit, I'm going to lose that connection. I can't tolerate that. Okay? And you shouldn't want to tolerate it either. But very simply put, folks, you have to ask yourselves, are you a disciple of Christ? And if you are, we need to get out there. We need to be talking to the people that sometimes we shun away from. Yeah, they don't look so clean. They don't look so nice. You'd be surprised. I didn't always look so clean and so nice myself. Really. But through God's grace, nobody ever would have thought 8 years ago I'd be standing right here right now. I can tell you that. And you'd see a list of over 150 people that you could call right now, and they'd be like, no way. But here I am. And that's what being a disciple of Christ will do for you. Okay? Okay. So now that I've completely confuse everybody and run my mouth dry. If we have anybody out here that would like to come to Christ, would like to come up here and pray with us, I would ask that you stand at this time. If anybody has any special prayers they'd like to come up and take care of, again, you're welcome to come up. I don't think I missed anything on that invitation, did I? Okay, I missed that part.
As we sing our song of invitation, please, if Jimmy's message has touched your heart, please come forward and he'll pray with you and talk with you. The Holy Spirit being a disciple. It's something that's burning for both of us, and how to make disciples is just so important. Praise reports. Okay, whoever has the closing prayer.
Holy Father, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you for the opportunity of surrounding your table, Lord, and remembering the price that you paid for each and every one of our lives. Help us, Father, to take the things that Brother Benning has given us, the challenges he's put before us. The fact that he reminds us that we can get complacent and we can think we're doing all we can do and when in reality we aren't. And I ask, Father, that you just help us to respond to the things that he said. We need to get outside these walls and touch the lives of those who touch our lives. And we thank you, Father, for bringing people to us. And we thank you for the message today. Just go with us as we go to our separate places of home and we ask for your guidance and guard and direction. In Christ I pray. Amen.
Make sure you greet Deming on your way out and let him know if he's irritated you by pricking you to be a disciple.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul, you alone are the anchor, when my sails are torn, your love surrounds me, in the eye of the storm, your in the eye of the storm. Go make some disciples.